have your Bibles, you'd wish to turn with me to Psalm 68. Psalm chapter 68, just about three verses there, and then we'll go to Psalms 55 and 1 Peter, and just kind of just talk to you just a little bit this afternoon. Just call this "Let God Arise." Just let God arise. And the Bible says in Psalm 68, verse 1, "Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him." Verse 3 says, "But let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God, yea, let them exceedingly rejoice." And verse 19 says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah." And so today I just want to talk to you a little bit about God. It's what we always do is talk about God a little bit, isn't it? But just a little bit here, just about what this says here, this celebration that the psalmist, David actually wrote, "Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered," celebrating God's rule and God's care for his people. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Let them that also that hate him flee before him. So I guess what I want to say, just a few things, and I don't know if I'm going to preach or just talk a little bit, just see how it turns out, but is we sometimes are overwhelmed by our adversity, by our problems. Sometimes they are real problems. Some of them are they just perceived, oftentimes just conceived in our minds. They're not real problems, but it's raining. Yes, it's raining, y'all. It's raining out there, but not in here. Okay. We'd like for a rain to happen in here. Then you wouldn't have to listen to me. Somebody ready to go? Come on, let it rain. All right, not going to. But we sometimes, in our minds, come up with things that challenge our faith. And oftentimes there are things that happen to us that challenge our faith. There are real, tangible things going on in our lives that challenge our faith. It may not cause us to give up on God, but it makes us wonder where God's at. I've asked you, Lord, but you're not doing anything. I need you, but I don't feel you. I need you, but I don't see it. I need some assurance that you're arising, that my enemies are being scattered, that the thing I'm hoping for, praying for, really needing in my life is going to happen, going to come to pass, and I need to know that every weapon formed against me is not prospering, every enemy that's risen up against me is being scattered, that although I feel like I'm in a cave right now, that I'm about to climb to the mountain. Although I'm in a valley and I'm crossing a very deep place and a river, a place of great obstacles, I know that you're about to scatter all my enemies. You're going to build a bridge across the troubled waters. You're going to elevate me back from the valley to the mountaintop. Father, I need to know that that's going to happen. Have you ever been there? Just feel like nothing's going your way? Have you? I think everyone has at one time or another. Some of us express it. Some of us just kind of pack it in and package it up and put a ribbon on it and try to keep anybody from knowing that we're struggling. But oftentimes, some of you like to open the whole package up and let everybody know. And you're pouring it out on everybody, and they're thinking, my goodness, that ain't nothing compared to what I've got packaged up inside of me. If you only knew. Have you ever felt that way? But that's how we are. But God says, let God arise. David did. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. You see, Christ is going to destroy all of our enemy. At the end of the age, the enemy is going to be totally annihilated. At the end of the age, and we're getting close to the end of the age, Christ is going to come again. He's going to He's going to defeat Satan once and for all. He's going to bind him up. He's going to cast him into a lake of fire. He's going to bind all of our enemies. Everything's going to be well for the Christian. It's going to be a good place to be. And we're going to triumph. Say, well, I'm not triumphing right now. Well, one of these days you're going to triumph. One of these days you're going to rejoice exceedingly. One of these days you're going to be glad that you stayed true to God. One of these days you're going to be glad that you were faithful in the midst of the trial. One of these days you're going to rejoice eternally in the presence of God. It's worthwhile. It's absolutely worthwhile. Verse 3 says this, but let the righteous be glad. God has enemies. We have trials. We have tribulations. He says, let them scatter before us. Let them flee before us. And let the righteous be glad. Let the righteous rejoice before God. Let them exceedingly rejoice. So well, that's kind of difficult to do when I'm in that cave. Well, it wasn't for David. And David had opportunity to kill King Saul, and he didn't. He just would rejoice. I know he wasn't happy all the time he's in that cave. And when he didn't have a trusty Mercedes to hop in with a chauffeur driver when he was running from Saul. He didn't run from one five-star hotel to another. He was going from cave to cave, from valley to valley, from trial to trial, from bad situation to bad situation, living with people that hated him. The Philistines. I mean, he wasn't in a good place, but yet he could write, let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God. So I don't know where you're at today. I don't know how bad it seems. I don't know how much doom and gloom that you have overcome you and just overshadowed you today. But the Bible says, let the righteous be glad. We have God on our side. It may not look like it right now. It may not seem like it to you. But he says, let the righteous be glad. Why? Because God has arisen. God is your God. God is watching over you. God is putting his hand upon you. You can trust God. You can depend on God. He's not going to let your enemies defeat you. God's going to help you overcome every obstacle, overcome every enemy that would come against you. So he says, let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God. It didn't necessarily say you go to your enemy and say, look at me, I'm going to rejoice. It didn't say this. It said, you rejoice before God. Rejoice before God. God, I know it's tough on me right now, but I praise you anyway. Lord, I know I don't have anything to be glad about, but I'm exceedingly glad. I'm going to worship you anyhow. Lord, I didn't feel like coming to church today, and I sure didn't feel like staying for this afternoon service, but I'm going to worship you. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord, and always, and again I say, I'm going to rejoice. I'm just going to give God the praise. I'm going to lift up my voice in gladness this afternoon because I love the Lord, and I'm going to exceedingly rejoice. I'm not just going to do it because pastor says I ought to, or Christina says let's sing a song, or I'm not going to do it because that song made me feel good. I'm just going to do it because you are God and you have arisen and you have overcome my enemies and you are on my side, and I'm just going to exceedingly rejoice in the Lord. That's what we ought to do, church. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care how bad it is or seems. I mean, I know there's bad things, and we don't want to minimize how bad some things are in our lives, but oftentimes things are near as bad as we think. But the enemy would blow it up, and he'd make it seem worse. But our God's an awesome God. And he what's he do in verse 19? He says this, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Blessed be the Lord God. Be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. He daily loads us with benefits. Man, what do you need today? He's done gave it to you. What do you need to sustain you this week? It's already there. It's already there. I can't start naming what you might need. You might need some joy. You may need some new love. You may need the fruit of the Spirit greater in your life. You just may need an encouraging word. I had a person this week and they've been missing a lot. And I just they texted me and said they're going to miss again. So I just texted them back. I said, well, hey, the enemy's after you. I'd been leaving them alone and not saying a lot because they've been missing a lot of church. But I'm telling you, sometimes they need an encouraging word as well as a word of exhortation. And, oh, that ain't where I wanted to go. Get off of here. I want to read just a little simple something to them. And they came to me today and said, thank you for that. I needed that. I needed you to tell me that. It's this right here. It's something like, And you may know who I'm talking about. I don't think. It said anyway. The person said wrote me a text and said I've lost track of time again doing things for my dad. I'm just a loser. I'm just a loser. I miss church again. I'm a loser. And I said, nah, you just get it together. Just get it together. We love you, and you're not a loser. However, things are getting the best of you. The deceiver is at work. So, well, that's kind of tough on a person that's struggling. No, they needed to know, I know I love them. They need to know God loves them. They need to know that the deceiver is the one that keeps putting stuff in their path, keeps causing them to miss church, wants to destroy their soul, wants to get the best of them. And so I sent that to them. And then later on, they wrote me back, said, I was kidding about the loser part, but thanks for giving me something to think about. And I said, I love you. My wife and I love you. We want God's absolute best for you. We realize you're in a season. We're in a season of difficulty. Hang tough. Let the Holy Spirit keep it, help and keep the faith. We're praying for you. That's what I wrote to this young lady, and y'all probably know who I'm talking about. That's immaterial. I want you to know, I wanted to encourage her. I'd kind of just hoping that God would deal with it. If I said, I got to say something, I've got to encourage her. I got to exhort to her that there's more. You gotta hang in there. You can't keep giving in to the deceiver. So I visited with her after church today and said, I love you and I want the best for you, but the deceiver, the Satan, is hindering you, and it's every Wednesday. He's getting to you every Wednesday. And I understand you've got situation, you've got difficulty. I sympathize with that. But the enemy is using that to keep you out and to discourage you and try to destroy you. And I don't want that to happen. So, church, you understand, let God arise and let His enemies be scattered, because God wishes to load us with benefits. If you're needing encouragement, God wants to give encouragement. If you're, whatever it is you're needing today, if you're in a pit of desperation or you're depressed today, God wants to bring you out of that pit and set you on higher ground and establish you in Him and love you and care for you and load you up with His benefits. God loves you. And so I just felt like I'd share that with you. We don't always share like we should. Sometimes we get a little mealy-mouthed, or closed-mouthed, I should say. Don't say a lot. We're afraid we might offend somebody. Offenses come pretty easy, seems like, in this day and age, especially church people. Don't want to offend nobody, but if I was to send you a tough text, it's not because I dislike you. It's because I love you tremendously. I want the best for you. Come on now. That's what it's all about. I love you and want the best for you. And what? Guess what? God loves you and wants the best for you too. Look at Psalms 55, chapter 55, verse 22. And it goes like this. And this is a good word for all of you today. Cast thy burdens on the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Cast your burdens on the Lord. He shall sustain you, and He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. So, well, I'm struggling right now, Pastor. Cast your burdens on the Lord. He shall sustain you. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. He's going to be on. He is on your side. He cares about you. He wants the best for you. He wants to load you with benefits. He is arisen, and his enemies are scattered. You're his child. He wants to protect you and give you benefits of serving him. I understand we're not all going to get filthy rich serving God. And I also know this, that you're going to have trials and tribulations in serving God. I know sometimes it's going to feel like you've been beat down with rocks. I know sometimes you feel like you've had to leave the city and be let down over the walls in a basket. I know there's times you're going to feel like that you're down in a dungeon in the mire of the pit. Up to your elbows in bad stuff. I understand there's going to be difficulties in our life in living for God, but I want to tell you something, church. It's a life worth living. No matter what it is you go through, it's a life worth living. Look at 1 Peter 5 and 7. And all of you know this scripture. You probably, if you don't know what it is, as soon as I start, you go, oh yeah. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He cares for every one of his children and every affliction you have, every situation you face. And it's emphasized throughout his entire word. God cares for his children. We're one of his child. He cares for us, don't he? And if you go over to Matthew, the 6th chapter and the 25th verse, and I want to read that to you. Chapter 6 of Matthew, verse 25. And it's talking about worry and being anxious. And this is what Jesus said. He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet what for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns, yet their heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much more better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow's cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewith all shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So what's God saying? He doesn't say that it's wrong to make provision for your future physical needs. What he does forbid is anxiety and worry, which shows a lack of faith in God. Not one of us can add one cubic to our stature. I can't make myself any higher. I could buy some platform shoes and I would appear to be taller than what I am, but I wouldn't be any taller than what I am. I would just be elevated just a little bit. I want to tell you, you can't do anything to change most things that you are anxious about. You might as well just cast your care upon the Lord. Let him handle it. Let him take care of it. Let him meet your need and just trust God for all of it. Cast your anxiety upon the Lord and stop being faithless. Build up your faith in God. He's there for you. Take no thought. You don't worry, quit worrying about mammon, quit worrying about what we're going to do. And he says in verse 30, if he clothe the lily, how will he not clothe you? I know we're in a world of uncertainty and trouble. If as you get older, you more realize that. Maybe we realized it even when I was younger, is uncertainty. But I can look back, and I used to quote this scripture all the time, but David said, I was young and now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I stand on that. I went through some times of adversity. I went through some times of famine, if you would, money-wise, and didn't know where our next meal was going to come from. But I came out of it fat and sassy. I never missed a meal. I never missed a day of work because I didn't, well, I am fat and sassy. I never missed a day of work because I didn't have gasoline to get there. I made it to work every time I was supposed to be there, except once, and then my boss came and got me. And he don't remember that. I'm glad he didn't, but I was embarrassed by it. I thought I snowed in one time and I didn't want to go to work. It was at Gilt Edge Dairy back when I was about 22 or 23 years old. It snowed real big overnight and I didn't want to go to work that day. So I just called in. We always had to leave about 5 a.m. I called in and I kissed your foot about 6 o'clock. David Rice, my son-in-law's dad, showed up at my house with a shovel. Shoveling out my driveway. What are you doing? I'm getting you out. You're going to work. Well, never mind, David. I can plow my car through there. Just get out of my way. I went to work, buddy. They taught me a lesson. Nobody does that these days. They just say, okay, we'll pay you anyway. Nah, he needed that route ran. I went and ran that route. I was so mad at him. Woke me up. I done went back to sleep. I ain't going to work today. God took care of my needs. I can look back over the years and even from the times of the church since we started the church and way before that, how God always took care of us. I learned early on to cast my care upon Him. He always takes care of us. Church, we need to learn that. Let God arise. Let His enemies be scattered. Trust in the Lord. Let Him benefit you. He takes care of us. Cast your care upon Him because He cares for you. Trust God. We need to learn to trust God. Don't you think, church? We need to learn to trust God. And so He clothed the sparrow, the lily, and he takes care of the sparrow. And I just have to know, I don't just assume it. I know from experience that God will take care of His children. I may not dress the best, and I may not have the newest car. My house may be older than some others, and my furniture may be wore out. But I still have furniture. I have a roof over my head. I have food in my belly. I have gasoline in my fuel tank. God is taking care of me. And I just want to give Him praise for it, don't you? Take care of me. He's always taking care of me. And so, anyway, and He goes on to tell us this. Here's the key to getting all of God's blessings, really, is seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Everything you need in life and things that pertain unto godliness, they're going to be given to you if you'll seek God first. And I think we get it backwards. Oftentimes we seek world solutions from the world. We think our job is the solution. We think this is the solution. When all the time God is the solution. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And He says, I'll add all these things to you. Don't take no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow's sufficient unto itself. I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you if you'll just trust me. It's what God says. Don't mean you won't have heartache. Don't mean you won't have trial. Don't mean you won't have trouble. But God will take you through it. He'll take care of you. And so I don't need to be continually absorbed in a search for something or making a strenuous and diligent effort to attain something that I can't get when I know God's going to supply all of my need. So why do I need to be anxious? That's why my father-in-law used to be anxious a lot of times. He'd tell you about the way he'd lay at night worrying about stuff. I said, man, why in the world do you want to lay at night and worry? My wife kind of caught that syndrome here lately. Laying at night worrying about stuff. Just go to sleep. Quit tossing and turning. You're bothering me. If you're going to do that, let me go to bed first and get good and sleep. Hey, it ain't going to change nothing worrying about it. I'm not saying I never worry. Y'all don't take it. Don't think I never give thought for things. We all do, don't we? We all do. I do too. But I just try to my best is to go to sleep. Don't let it worry. Let God, He's going to stay awake anyway. He never sleeps nor slumbers. So just let say, God, I'm going to go to bed. You handle this. You worry about it. Whatever needs to be done, you do it. I'm just going to, and then show me tomorrow what it was we need to do. And I don't do that all the time. I understand. That's what we ought to do. Cast your cares upon Him. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things are going to be taken care of. God wants us to seek His, earnestly seek Him, His rule and His power over us. Let Him be God. He wants us to be, and then we pray that His kingdom will come in mighty power. Your kingdom come. Oh, wouldn't you like to see a mighty move of God in the church? A mighty move of God to draw people in. A move of God where people be filled with the Holy Ghost. A move of God where people, the sin in people's lives would be driven out. Where faithfulness would be the norm. Amen. Let God arise. Let His enemies be scattered. That's all I got for you today. I just wanted to share that with you briefly. Let God arise. Let His enemies be scattered. Let them that hate Him flee before Him. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Let them exceedingly rejoice. And then blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Verse 20 says, He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belongeth the issues of death. Unto God, give God the praise. Give God the glory. Worship Him. When you get up, before you go to bed tonight, worship the Lord. When you get up in the morning, give Him thanks and praise. Thank Him for the good day you're going to have instead of saying, oh, Lord, it's another day. Say, Lord, it's a good day. It's a good day. It's a good day because You're my God. Jesus is my Savior. It's all is well. All is well. All is well. It may not be well, but speak it. It's well. All is well. If you think about Abraham, the Bible teaches us that he's a father of faith. Very faithful man, basically the father of faith in some ways. And God promised him a lot of things. Did you know that he wasn't faithful all the time either? He made a lot of mistakes in the process of following God. One of them was when he headed out and first started to go towards the land of Canaan that God had told him to go to. He laid over about 6 years in a place God didn't lead him to. He laid over with his father till his dad died, and then he moved on. He had to learn to get free from his family's strings too, so he'd follow God. And after that, he took on off and finished the journey to where he was going. But once he got there, then he lied to one of the kings about his wife. We don't think about that stuff, do we? He had to build up his faith too. He had to learn to trust God. This was a man raised up in a pagan area, ungodly place. You and I have been raised up in church. Why is it so hard for us to trust God? Think about that. We've got all the Word of God they didn't have. We've got the promises of God. We've got the results of the promises of God in our own lives. Why is it so hard for us to keep the faith? It's difficult sometimes, but it's worth it. It's worth it. Well, stand with me.